CPC, I am so delighted to be with you all opening God's Word. In fact, if you don't have it yet, go ahead and grab your Bibles, bring them to your couch or wherever you're watching from. We're going to be opening up God's Word together to be transformed. So I hope you're coming expectant because our God always keeps His promises. In fact, I really like that. Lots of worship songs these days speak about God's promises, right? I really like the one that goes, all your promises are yes and amen. I heard you. No, I didn't. But I love that song. I just wish right afterwards they would open up God's Word and say, and here's what they are. So let me just give you a few. Like in James, where he says, hey, you going through a hard time? Good. Do you need some wisdom? Ask God for it. He'll give it to you. Or how about the one in Jeremiah 29:13 that says this, you will seek me. This is God speaking, by the way. You want to hear from God this morning? Perfect. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God can and will be found by us if it is Him that we seek. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 11. We'll start there, but we're going to dive into God's Word. But as we do, I want to pray that we would actually open ourselves up to hear from Him, trust Him more as we continue living our lives. You guys in? Perfect. Open up your hands. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray for each person listening that can hear your word being spoken. I pray that your words would move us, would teach us. I pray that it would comfort people who need to be comforted. I pray that it would push people that need to be pushed. God, your word could do all these things at the exact same time. So Lord, I humbly submit myself to whatever direction you'd want to take us this day. Whew, we love you. Be glorified in us. Help us hunger to find you because you promise that we'll find you if we do. We love you. And all God's children said aloud, amen. Jeremiah chapter 29 is where we'll begin together. Here it goes. God speaking, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, while these words were written to a certain people going through a certain specific scenario at a certain time, they're still timeless truths we can pull today. And here's the first one. God knows the plans. Did you hear it? And isn't it, by the way, crazy listening to this verse in light of this season? Hear it again. God speaking. For I know the plans I have for you. And then he goes on in the next two verses and then outlines our part in the plans, what we can do in response to the fact that God knows the plans. What he invites us into is to trust him, to actively take steps of trust to the one who knows the plans. But I gotta be honest, I've studied this passage for the past 2 years and I've never read it like I've been reading it in this season because listen, in past seasons, it's easy to read. Well, God knows the plans, but so do I. God knows the plans, but I also have lots of them. God knows the plans, but my calendar is full. But listen here today, God's speaking, God's saying, I know the plans. Will you trust me? Or will you just keep trying to figure it out? See, what it says next is not. For I know the plans I have for you, and I'm planning on telling them to you. No. And we're not used to not knowing things. Have you noticed? I mean, that's why Siri exists or Google searches, right? We're not used to being in a conversation with someone and then talking about a random subject and then being content at the end of it, not knowing the answer to something. No, we Google search our answers. In fact, I remember when I worked for a curriculum company, we sent out all these surveys to middle school and high school students. And one of the questions we asked was, why don't you talk to your parents about spiritual things? And one of the top answers was, because I Google search my questions. We're not used to not knowing, and we're also not good at asking others for help, are we? You see, God speaks and he says, hey, I know the plans, and I'm inviting you to trust me, which means you need to make sure you're listening to the right voice. Because if you listen to the wrong voices, maybe the ones we've been listening to, maybe if the news is much louder, maybe the influence of announcements of people is much louder than God's words, then we'll find ourselves having a problem, or we'll find ourselves maybe experiencing anxiety. Can you relate? This season has been so unique for many reasons. One of them is because my husband is an emergency room nurse, which makes this time at the hospital very unique. He and I recently had a conversation about what he's seeing, what are some of the results of all, not just the coronavirus, but also the shelter in place, all of these effects on people. It's hard. If you're sitting here watching this today and you feel overwhelmed and exhausted and anxious and comforted and tired and all the things at all the same time, you're not crazy. Because we don't know the answer. And if we want to just try to figure out the right answer, then we could find ourselves even more anxious. And so I asked my husband, I said, what do you do when people walk in with like an anxiety attack, for instance? He says, oh, I do the exact same thing every time. I said, you do? He said, this is what I do. Right when they come in, I tell them to look me in the eyes. And so right now, just look right here. And then he says, I need you to listen to my voice. And right now, let's focus on what we can do, because we can't know the future. But what we can do right now is breathe. So wherever you're at, would you just breathe with me? Let's slow down in a world that is going fast and news announcements that just keep on coming. Just, I want you to listen to my voice as what he says. Just breathe with me. Ready? Breathe in. And breathe out. Breathe in. And then I need you to listen right here. Pay attention to my voice. Because in just a few minutes, things are going to get better. Now breathe out. Yes, good, you're doing great. Just breathe in. He says right about here, he leans in and says, hello, my name is Randy Marshman, by the way. I'm a staff ER nurse at this hospital, and I'm really good at my job. Now breathe out. I said, don't ask my husband, you actually say that? He says, they need to know the one who's speaking to them is reliable and trustworthy. And I believe that's precisely what Jeremiah is doing in this passage, is he's saying, pay attention to the right voice. The one who does know the plans and the one who is trustworthy. Why? Because God is really good at his job. And I fear sometimes we're playing the wrong part, trying to hold and control everything around us, or even ourselves, and we're exhausted. If that's you, you're not crazy. Hear the words of the Lord. I know the plans I have for you. Oh, and by the way, the people that Jeremiah was writing to, they were not listening to the right voice either. So you're not crazy, but Jeremiah was. In fact, in his entire book, 170 times he says with confidence, declares the Lord. Clearly he was listening to the right voice. But the people he was speaking to were listening to other voices. In fact, just one chapter earlier in Jeremiah chapter 29, we meet Hananiah, who falsely prophesies and falsely predicts that things are going to get better and easier quickly. And faster with God, and everything's just going to get better. Put your trust in God, and in 2 weeks, things are going to get better and quickly. And the truth is, we hear Hananiah's all over the place predicting things will get better and easier with God. See, of course, we want to read Jeremiah 29:11 and put it on graduation cakes. Of course, we do, because it talks about a plan to prosper, not to harm, plans to give a hope and a future. See, we want the hope and the future. We want the prosperity, but we don't want the exile that the people were living in. We want to be like Jesus, but we don't really want to carry a cross. We want purpose without pain, refinement without fire. We're not alone, and that's why God speaks through the prophet Jeremiah this word, I know the plans. You see, while we may not know what the plans are, we can know something about the plans. So if you're sitting there hungry to know something about the plans, because the plan, the life you're living in, feels a little chaotic, hear these incredibly good words delivered through Paul in the book of Romans. Turn with me. Romans chapter 8 is where we're headed. Another famous one, and we're going to give it a little bit more than maybe we've read at the first glance. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, turn with me. I'm laughing to myself because, of course, I saved my spot with my little ribbons. It's like, turn with me. Beatcha. So Romans 8, verse 28. See, we can know that God knows the plans. And while we may not know exactly what the plans are going to be in the future, here's what we can know about the plans. Written by Paul, by the way, Paul has a past, which reminds me to never count anyone out, ever. Because God never does. Because Paul wrote this one, Romans 8, 28. He says this. And we can know that, even how it starts, here's what we can know. You want to know? It's this. That in all things, what's included in all things? All things, every single thing you're going through, every fear, every anxiety, every area of your life that feels uncertain, every struggle, every betrayal, every pain, all things. So we can know that in all things, God works, here it is, for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So while God knows the plans, we can know that his plans are meant for good. Now I recognize that some of you hear that passage and you've already found all the silver lining in this season. Family dinners. More time at home, or fill in the blank, how have you seen the good? And maybe some of you, that's very easy. But I have to be present to imagine that some of you, that feels impossible. How in the world could God use this for good? And no matter which camp you're in, we have to address our definition of good. See, because our Americanized definition of good is this. How's your day? Good, which means what? Successful. Circumstances were good, comfortable, easy. Fill in the blank. What does it mean that something's good? It's going well. Yet you look around and go, how in the world could God use this for good? Good. Because Paul doesn't stop at Romans 8, 28. See, he also writes Romans 8, 29 so that we can know his definition of good, which is radically different than ours. And it says this, for those God foreknew, this again, verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined. Don't get tripped up on that word. It just means predestined. Okay, here it is. To be conformed to the image of his son. Did you catch it? God's definition of good is to form us more into the image of his son. God can use all things for good to form us more into the likeness of Jesus. If that's the definition he's using, then of course he can even use betrayal for good. Maybe some of you, the biggest issue is not the pandemic, it's relationships, isolation even. Or maybe for you, it's hurry. You can't seem to focus. Well, I'm here to tell you, he can use all things to form you more into the likeness of Jesus. Will you let him? Or will you keep holding on to the future, trying to figure out the plan? Here's part of the plan, to form you more into the likeness of Jesus. And by the way, as you become more like him, you might just become part of the plan God has for someone else too, because what does that someone else need? That someone else needs Jesus. And what might God's plan for them be? It might just be a transformed you. So let me ask you, with heartfelt sincerity, because I care very deeply for you, to answer this question, because it might be one of the most powerful words you could hear from your Heavenly Father, who wants to invite you into all the good plans that he's up to, and it's this. How might God be wanting to use the very things you're going through to form you more into the likeness of Jesus? Jesus is kind, calm, forgiving, dependent upon the words of his Heavenly Father. Have you been dependent upon the words or affirmation from another? Jesus was dependent upon the words of his Heavenly Father. Jesus was a prayer warrior. If something feels impossible to you, beautiful, let it lead you to pray, because that'll look a lot more like Jesus than you trying to figure out the answer. And I hear this entire message as God's beautiful invitation of going, I know the plans, so come to me. And that's what he does in Jeremiah 29:12. He says, I know the plans, therefore come to me, call upon me, come and pray to me, because I'm going to listen to you. Verse 13, here's that promise from before. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. He even says it again in verse 14, I will be found by you. And I wonder if us finding him is actually the plan itself. Because as we find him, we'll have everything we need. And if we truly seek to find him and to be formed into the likeness of his son, then I believe we'll be living in the part he has entrusted for us to play in his story. His story, by the way, the one that makes him known through our lives. You see, if our definition of good, if we trust God to do all things for good, to make us more like Jesus, then I think it would begin to shift a lot of aspects of our life. For instance, even prayer. If our definition of good changes from comfortable and easy to God's glory, then let me say this. If God were to have said yes to all the prayers you prayed over the past week, if God said yes to all of them, would your life be more comfortable or would God be more glorified? He wants to shift everything in us. He wants to alter how we pray. He wants to alter the fact that we would pray. He knows the plans. And while we may not know what the plans are, we can know this about the plans. He'll use all things for good. I don't just know these truths from the Bible. I know them from my own life. I remember being in a really important room with a lot of important people. This was before 6 months ago, so we could be in the same room, really in close proximity. And we were in this big room, and I remember feeling the need to be important, or at least portray importance. And maybe you go, yay, I feel you. You feel that in a lot of areas of your life, like you need to be significant or offer something significant, or in your family or relationships. Or do you ever feel this pressure? Maybe for you, it's not in a room. Maybe for you, it's online. Or maybe for you, it's anywhere you walk into. I remember feeling this pressure of what do I have to offer? What do I have to offer of significance? And what made matters worse is the person leading the conversation said, why don't we all go around the room and share what makes each of us important? Of course, they didn't say it that directly, but I think everyone understood the prompt. So the person to my right, I don't remember the details, but I remember it sounding like this. So I used to be a nobody, but now I'm a somebody, and man, it feels good to be important. I remember thinking, wow, that person is really important. Then the next person went, I used to work at so-and-so small name company, and then I worked for a bigger name company, and now I work for a biggest name company, and man, it feels good to be important. I thought, wow, it's important. And so I started to rack my brain, like, okay, what do I bring? Okay, I was a waitress for like 7 years. Nah, that's not gonna, okay, I won't bring that up. I have some good education. Yeah, that's good, okay. I don't know. Okay, that's not really. I don't have a title necessarily that's like, wow, you know, I'm like trying to rack my brain on what makes me even deserve to be in the room. I prayed early on in this message that I would be attentive to how the Holy Spirit might be moving, and there's something just happened inside of me that I have to address. See, for me, I'm saying I couldn't figure out what made me feel important enough to be in the room, and I have a feeling there's someone watching that doesn't feel important enough for life. I don't know why, but I have a heavy heart for you, and you are seen and you are being pursued by our loving God. Keep paying attention. He knows the plans he has for you, and they're really good. He'll use your life in big ways. So I'm in the room and I'm racking my brain. What do I bring to the table? And they're going around. I did exactly what Jeremiah 29:12 says. Therefore, call upon him. Come and pray to him. He'll listen to you. You'll seek him and find him if you seek him with all your heart. I thought, all right, God, what could I share? What could I share in this moment? It's going to get to me and I get to introduce myself. What do I share? The story that came to mind was of my biggest failure. And I remember thinking, nope, let's try again, Lord. Like, let's try again. It's important. Maybe a title, maybe it's something. What makes me significant? And I'm just listening and I cannot get that story out of my brain. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for me to stand before you and tell you my credentials for standing up here would be my biggest failure, or that room, or any other room for that matter. I remember being so confused, and so they kept going around and everyone keeps wowing and impressing everybody, and then it gets to me. And I decided to obey God's nudging when I said this. Hey, I'm Megan, and I went to jail once. Mouths literally dropped. I gave an abbreviated version of the story. See, the truth was, I was in college, and I, you know what I struggled with? People pleasing. And I thought it wasn't that bad. Because, I mean, at least people were pleased. My friends started making silly choices. One of them was they were stealing. And I know right from wrong. And one day they invited me to go with them to go steal from a department store. I can't even tell you why. It doesn't make any sense. That day I just happened to say yes. It's like I wanted to please them. I went with them. I kind of stood in the back. They did their thing. And then they went to the next store and then the next store. And it was the fourth store that they said, just come back here. And they ripped off some tags and said, just walk out. And I remember just wanting to please them. See, for me, people pleasing, I didn't feel like it was a big issue, but the problem was pleasing people had been trumping pleasing God for a while, and I didn't know that it was a problem. I went to walk out the store, the alarm sounds, my friends run off, and I'm standing there, and I got caught. And the truth is, by the way, this isn't my favorite story to share, but I feel like if I'm going to preach this word, I have to preach it authentically so that I can ask you to do the same thing, because I have to be willing to go where I'm asking you to go, which is what things you're going through, because the thing I was going through is the similar thing I still continue to go through, which is this desire to please you instead of please him, to listen to your voice and your feedback versus hear from him and listen to him and hear his words and let them move me. See, that day I was caught, but I wasn't just caught stealing. The truth is I was caught trying to write my own script, be impressive to a lot of people, be really well liked, do anything that I could that would be worthy of an applause. The truth is I didn't just get caught stealing. I got caught with the plans God had for me. I thought that they were up to me too. And so I was trying to write my own story, constantly holding the pen, trying to rewrite anything that God had done, trying to take control and trying to win the approval of all people at the expense of myself, at the expense of his word, at the expense of time spent with him. I got caught. But like I said, God knows the plans and he'll use all things for good. See, I did go sit in a jail cell for a few hours. And I also got the knock on the door that my parents had bailed me out. And I remember the moment I got to walk out of a jail cell and the doors flew open. And I remember my mom standing there like this. And I remember looking at my mom and thinking, whoa, I don't deserve that. And you just couldn't wait to. By the way, if you're a mama watching this, man, the power of your arms, the power of your hugs, the power of the grace of God demonstrated through your life. See, do you recognize what this looks like in a church service this morning? I know people have hurt you. I know my choices reflected very poorly on my parents, but my mom stood there like this. And I remember running into her arms and hugging her, and then I actually said out loud, Mom, I don't deserve this. And my dad, so beautifully, my mom didn't care. She just kept on hugging, but my dad so beautifully leaned in and said, oh my girl, you never did. You never deserved his love in the first place. See, God uses all things for good. I walked out of a jail cell after being caught, spending my life pleasing people, and walked straight into the arms of grace and finally understood that I never deserved it in the first place. And it's true for you too. That your greatest witness, by the way, is not going to be your goodness. It's going to be his grace despite your badness. And so I stand before you today to say God uses all things. See, that's what I needed in order to know the love of Jesus. Not just know it in my head, but know it in my heart and then feel it in my body as my mom wrapped her loving and gracious arms around me and said, I love you anyway. See, God knows all things. And he's moving toward you with all of his love and wanting to meet you right there. He knows all things. He knows the ways that you've crushed it during this quarantine and the ways that you haven't. He knows the ways you've been selfish and selfless. And he's opening up saying, would you just come here? Would you let me wrap my loving arms of grace? See, God uses all things for good. And it's not just true of me. See, for me, when I think about the times in which I was formed most into the likeness of Jesus, it was moments like that. So when I told the abbreviated version of the story in that really important room, I basically said, the reason I want to be here and offer something is because I know the love of Jesus in an intimate way. I'm not here to tell you how profound I am at articulating it or perfect I am at giving all the right answers at all the right times. See, I don't know all the answers, but I know the one who does, so I rely on him. See, God knows the plans. His plans are meant for good. But if God's plan is to form you more into the likeness of Jesus, I know from experience that the times he does it is in the moments of trial. See, point one, God knows the plans. Point two, his plans are meant for good. Point three, though, God's plans are not exempt from trial. See, I went through it. But if you feel like you're going through the trial, going through a massive storm, feeling overwhelmed in this season, you're not alone, and you have really good company in Scripture. See, God's not just wanting to pull us out of the hard things. He's wanting to transform us in the middle of hard things. And it's been true this entire book. Remember Noah? God didn't remove Noah from a flood or stop the flood, did he? He saved him right in the midst of the waves. In fact, one of my favorite parts of the Noah narrative, in chapter 7 in the book of Genesis, verse 15, pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah. I just love that fun fact. Noah didn't even have to get the animals. God gave him a command and said, will you obey me? Will you trust me? Here's kind of parts of the plans, by the way. In the plans, no rudder and no steering wheel. In other words, God's saying, will you trust me? I know the plans. Here's a few. Will you trust me? By the way, then the animals came to him. Can you imagine Noah just walking down the street and suddenly two giraffes just start following him down the road? You got to be looking for how God's already moving, how God's already providing in your current life, because he is. They all entered the ark, verse 16. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing as God had commanded Noah. Watch this. Then the Lord shut him in. Did you get it? God closed the door. Am I the only one that thought that God only opened doors? Yet here we are in this season experiencing a lot of what? Closed doors. See, God didn't close the door on Noah to keep him from his promise. He closed the door on Noah to keep him from drowning on the other side. God opens doors, he closes doors, and he uses all things. He doesn't just pull us out of the hardships. He transforms us in it. Remember Daniel? God didn't save Daniel from a lion's den. He saved them. He saved him with the beasts at his side. God didn't save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from a fire. He transformed them through it, saved them in it, and then even joined them in it. And do you remember, by the way, their faith-filled words? I feel like it's such a gift for us in this trial. Remember their faith-filled words before they went into the fire? They said this to King Nebuchadnezzar. Do you remember the words? We want you to know our God is able to save us from this. But what we want you to know, O King, that we will not bow down and worship your image of gold you have set up. But even if, did you catch it? Our God is able, but even if he doesn't. Because the truth is, God could have saved Noah from the flood by stopping a flood. He could have not had him go into a lion's den, that Daniel guy. He could have rescued Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego by not sending them in the fire, but he equips us with their words of faith. Hear this. See, even if breeds faith. But I don't think we're saying a lot of even if. In fact, the words I use a lot are these ones. Mike Foster let me know through an Instagram post that the words, what if so-and-so happens? What if breeds fear? Even if breeds faith. See, because even if our what if comes to pass, God knows the plans and he'll use all things for good, which means our life is not exempt from trial. He doesn't want to remove us from the trial. He wants to transform us through the trial. How? To form us more into the likeness of Jesus. So let me ask you again, and lean in on this one. How might God be wanting to use the very thing you're going through to form you more into the likeness of Jesus? He'll use all things to do it. See, it wasn't just him using, for me, a bad choice of my own. See, all of us are in this scenario, maybe not even because of our bad choices. Maybe we're in the trials we're facing just because we're in the trials we're facing. But here's what I know. I know these truths, not just from making the bad choice, but also even from the consequences of them. Because see, our God will use all things. See, I went to jail. I was bailed out and then stood before a judge. And he leaned in at one point and said, you know, I'm gonna do something for you I've never done before. And I thought that's either really good or not good. And he said, here's what it's gonna be. Your consequence from this court is gonna be going and speaking publicly at every local high school about the topic of decision making. Are you in? And so I stand before you and I smile. The reason I'm a communicator is because I got caught. The reason I'm standing before you today, see, I had no idea God would ever use any part of my life for his good and for his glory. I'm standing before you to tell you I'm living testimony and living proof that our God, yes, he knows the plans and he's trustworthy. Although the plans may not look good, our definition to us, they are, because he's good in ways we can only begin to imagine. See, our God knows the plans, and his plans are meant for good. He'll use all things to form us more into the likeness of his son, because the world needs to know Jesus, and God's crazy plan for the world just might be you. God's plan for your broken family may just be you. God's plan for your neighborhood may just be you. God's plans for this church, this community that you live in, may just be a transformed you. If you feel like you're drowning in a fire with beasts at your side, don't feel like God is angry with you. He's not displeased with you because you're there, but he does want to use all things for good to form us more into the likeness of Jesus so that people might meet him through our lives. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for using all these different things in my life for good. And I pray for each person listening that they would even find purpose in the pain. Help us, Lord, find you. Help us seek you even now. And whatever we do next, I pray that we would talk about you and what you might be saying to us. Thank you for knowing the plans, Lord. Continue to teach us how to trust you and trust that what you're up to is meant for our good. And then I pray that we would look more like you. So God, would you do that work in us as we submit our plans over to you? We love you, Jesus. And all God's children said, amen.